Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good, in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here, fresh back from Israel, is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and it's great to be back. We sure had a wonderful time. Spent 11 days out of the country, 9 full days in Israel. We saw just about everything that we could possibly pack in to those 9 days, but it was marvelous. The group that went with us, they just learned to get to know each other and love each other and just melded together in such a wonderful way. We just shared together the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And it was especially fun just to see all of the spots that these stories that we read about in the Bible actually took place. Yeah. You know, I know for so many people, we read the Bible and it becomes just this little Bible fairyland. Like we're reading a children's story or something. We're not sure if this really exists or not. But when you go over to Israel and you see the Sea of Galilee and you see the ruins of Capernaum and all of the places where Jesus lived and ministered, and then you go to Jerusalem and you see where it could have possibly happened, where he was crucified, and then the empty tomb. It just becomes really real. This isn't fairyland stuff. This is a story that took place in human history. God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus walked among us. He lived with us. He tasted death for us. He was placed into a tomb, and then he was raised back to life. And seeing all that just really brings the Bible to life in even more of a way. You don't have to go to Israel to understand what the Word of God is saying. You don't have to go to Israel to have a dynamic, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. But there's something about going that does enhance it, that makes it seem even more real than what you've ever experienced before. But we just had a great time. We were able to baptize, I think, 6 people in the Jordan River. Boy, was that cold! But quite the experience. We saw some of the ruins of Beth Shean, which was a place where, after Saul was killed, they decapitated him, and the Philistines just nailed his head up on the wall, and David was going to honor Saul, and he went there and got his head and the head of his sons and had a proper burial. During the days of Jesus, it became a Roman town, very pagan and secular and all of those sort of things. But that's all excavated, and it's really quite a sight to see. You know, there's a Roman theater. They have the Cardo. They have these huge columns, and it is really a wonderful place. And then Jerusalem. There's just no place like Jerusalem. And as we've done on previous trips, we go down south toward Jericho, and then we come up. So Jericho is about 1,000 feet below sea level. Jerusalem is about 3,000 feet above sea level. So that climb from Jericho to Jerusalem is quite a climb. I mean, you're just chugging uphill all the way. And it brings to mind those Psalms of ascent. You know, everything is going up to Jerusalem. And then once you get to Jerusalem, you go up to the temple. You have the temple steps that lead up, and then up some more until you're finally there at the pinnacle where you're supposed to be. But that was an incredible experience. But once we're approaching Jerusalem, we go up the backside of Mount Scopus. We go through a tunnel. We crest a hill, and it's there. And it is just the most fascinating, moving scene that you could ever imagine. We stopped the bus. We got out. We did the blessing that Melchizedek did with Abraham, the bread and the wine, which is symbolic of the story of how it ends, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So we saw the unity of the old into the new, Jesus Christ fulfilling that. But looking down on that place where Jesus bled and died to purchase our redemption, you just look and just tears start to flow. It's just the most amazing experience that you could ever imagine. And then, of course, the last day we followed the steps that Jesus would have taken from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested, and he prayed before that, "Not my will, but yours be done." Then to Caiaphas's house, where he would have been tried, held there overnight. Then to where Pontius Pilate would have been. We didn't go where Herod probably was. They're not exactly sure. They have some clues as to where Herod would have been, but Jesus would have been sent to him, and then back to Pontius Pilate. Pontius would have said, turned him over to be crucified. The Roman soldiers would have taken him out. And then we went to the place of the skull and then to the garden tomb and shared the Lord's Supper there. And it was just a wonderful experience. And we just had a great time. We thank all of those who prayed with us and for us. We posted pictures almost every day. I did a couple of live from Israel Facebook things, and that was fun, and we had a lot of people view those. So quite a number of folks went along with us through social media and those sort of things. So it was a great trip. Going to do it again maybe in a couple of years. Look to maybe May of 2019. So if you would be interested in joining us, I'm just going to tell you, go ahead and start saving up your money now. It's going to be well worth the investment.
I think our friend is ready to be a tour guide.
He might be.
You did good. Hey, you
absorbed
everything.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, vicariously, it was a great trip. So we appreciate the update, Bob. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher has returned. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you've joined us. And I want to remind you that something you may have noticed yourself, that for many years, marriages and families have been under attack, and every day negative forces work to undermine the relationships that are most important to us. What are you as a believer to do? How can you build a strong, authentic relationship in both your marriage and in your family life? There's truly only one way. It is Christ in you, your hope of glory. In his new CD series, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, Bob Christopher shows how Jesus works on the inside to give you all the necessary ingredients to enjoy strong and healthy relationships. Relationships that defy the negative forces. Relationships that are authentic and real. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is available when you make your gift this month to support Basic Gospel. And all you need to do is request your copy, your CD edition, when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. We encourage you to do that. Well, again, 844-322-2742, that's the number to dial if you have a question, if it's something you'd like to discuss. Give us a call, friends. We are here to serve you. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. Well, guys, a very simple question from David, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app. He says, why are we not justified by our efforts to keep the law?
Because we can't keep the law. It's plain and simple.
Okay, moving right along.
We can try as hard as we may, and but just one failure, and that's what that's what James says in his letter. If you have violated the least part of the law, you have violated the entire law. So God doesn't grade on the curve. It's 100% or nothing. Yeah. So if you can't keep the law 100% of the time, from the time you're born to the time you die, both externally and internally,
there's the problem.
You're going to be judged and condemned by the law.
Yes.
And so that makes it impossible for us to be justified through obedience to the law. And that's a theme that we see throughout the New Testament, isn't it? It's just not one verse that's there. Paul talks about it in almost every single letter. What we do come to understand through the law is what sin is all about. We become conscious of sin. And that's what the law was designed to do, to make us conscious of that thing that is keeping us from this relationship with God. Once we understand that, once we die to the law, then we're free to receive Jesus and have a vital relationship with him. But there's no way that we can be justified through human effort. It's just impossible for us to do.
Well, we love hearing from our listeners, including David. A great question, and we appreciate hearing from you. If you have a question, friends, you can get it to us either of a couple or three good ways. You can call right now if you're listening during the 3 o'clock Central Time hour. You can call 844-322-2742. If you're not listening at that particular time, you can use that same number. 24 hours a day, it's available, 844-322-2742. You can record your voice and hear it played back soon on Basic Gospel. Otherwise, you can go to our website, the extension of that, basicgospel.net/ask. You can pose your question again by voice or in writing. basicgospel.net/ask. We would love to hear from you. We love hearing from you. Guys, a question from Ivy, who writes to us from Brooklyn, New York. Kind of a long way around to get to his question, but he prefaces it very well. He says, I grew up in my grandparents' home, and they were had very legalistic views. I stopped going to church at the age of 13 and did not return to Christ until age 37. I lived a very sinful life in the years that I was separated from Jesus. Now I love my church. I love having Christ in my life, and I am grateful for your program. Listening to you guys has helped me go into my past and embrace my future and allow the Holy Spirit to live in me. But I have a question. In the summertime, I like to enjoy an ice-cold beer on a hot day, and sometimes I go out to dinner and like to have a glass of wine. Jesus made wine, so obviously wine is not a bad thing, right? Is it safe to say that as long as a person does not get drunk or abuse alcohol, it's okay to have a beer or a glass of wine once in a while? That's from Ivy in Brooklyn.
Well, that's a good question, and it's one that comes up quite a bit. We want to know where our freedom ends, basically. Are we free to do this? And if you're a believer, you're free. I mean, that's what freedom is all about. But not everything that you choose is beneficial. And some things that you choose can become detrimental, can take control of your life. So if you're choosing to drink time and time and time and time again, alcohol is going to be the thing that starts controlling you. It's going to start shaping the way you choose to live your life. A beer here or there, or a glass of wine here or there, you're not submitting yourself to those things to allow those things to control you in your life. That's why the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine. It didn't say don't drink wine. It says don't be drunk. Why? Because when you're drunk, you're under the control of that substance.
Yes.
We want to be in a position to be controlled by the Spirit of God, to be controlled by the love of God. And when your mind is not fully functioning because of alcohol, you're probably going to make some dumb choices. So the idea is that you are free. All things are lawful to you, but not all things are beneficial. And so you want to be able to choose those things that are beneficial. Getting drunk is not beneficial. As a matter of fact, you're going to lose control. But you want to, and all of those things, moderation is a good word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what this brings up, and I'm sorry I'm picking on him, on Ivy, but every time somebody asks a question like this from a behavioral point of view, then what happens inside of me is I'm saying, well, if I was that person, I'm looking for how far can I go? If you ask the question from the standpoint of, Lord Jesus, you indwell me now, and I'm wherever I am. Okay, at a restaurant or at a barbecue or whatever is happening, what would you have me do? And if the Spirit says, well, have a beer, then have the beer. And it's not a behavioral thing. But if the Spirit says, hold off, then you can hold off because you know the Spirit has something in mind for you. And it just changes the whole dynamic of this kind of conversation rather than, is it okay?
Right.
What is best?
Right.
And the Spirit is always going to take us towards what is best because the Spirit's got the entire conversation, the whole context of everything in his mind. And we've got the mind of Christ now, so let's listen to it and see how we can participate that way.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Richard. We're certainly free. You know, we ask the question because we're wondering, what's God going to think of me if I do this? And we know already what God thinks of us, and that was clearly demonstrated in the person and work of Jesus. His
yes.
death proves to us, regardless of what's going on in our lives, that his love is true, that it never fails, it never falls away. God always loves us. God always likes us. God's always interested in
yes.
us. The fact that he's present with us 24/7, 365 is proof as well. He would not come and make his dwelling inside of us if he was not pleased with us.
Yeah.
So in these matters, we can truly allow the Lord Jesus to lead us. And when we allow the Lord Jesus to lead us, then these things won't really matter too much as far as, you know, making us crazy at night trying to figure out, can we or can't we? Just walk freely in the love of God,
yeah.
and those questions will answer themselves.
Yeah, so many times I think alcohol plays into this issue of family relationships, and it can be a terrible, terrible detriment to families. Families, marriages, even motherhood are now coming under increasing attack and stress. And in this new CD series by Bob Christopher, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, well, he shows the way to counter the assaults and build strong, authentic relationships and families. Inside Out, Marriage and Family is yours as you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift and request your copy. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. A follow-on to that question about wine and about beer and so forth. I have wondered many, many times why over the years, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we have substituted grape juice for wine.
Well, I think there's some good reasons for that. I think alcohol has taken root in our culture. There are many people in churches that have struggled with alcoholism,
yes.
and just the thought of drinking it might send them back. So I think churches are saying, let's love these people. And instead of doing wine, let's serve grape juice.
Symbolic.
So it's not a temptation
yeah.
For those that may have struggled in the past. And I think that's listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I think that's what churches should do. There certainly are. I remember going to a church and they served wine and they served it from a single cup. They passed it down where you kneeled at the altar, and I remember taking a sip. I didn't know it was real wine, just shocked the daylights out of me, because I grew up in a church where it was always grape juice. When we took the Lord's Supper in Israel, we served grape juice. And I think we did that, and I think most churches do that because of the sensitivity to those who may be alcoholics, have struggled with that in their past. See, that's what love does.
Yes.
There's freedom, but freedom isn't there to choose to indulge the flesh. It's not all about you. You are free to love. That's what this gospel message enables us to do. It also enables us, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about today on the broadcast, listen. Listen with the intent to understand and to hear. You know, most relationships, it's a listening problem. It's communication. When you ask couples, you know, why are you struggling? We just don't communicate. Well, what that means is that you're not actually listening to one another. You've got what you want to say, and you're just going to say it.
Yep.
And you don't care about listening to the person that you're messed up with. The Bible says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So what's the first recommendation here? Be quick to listen.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean just hear things. It means to hear things with an ear to understand them.
Yeah.
We are famous for saying that God is interested in the souls of men. Christianity is interested in the souls of men. As a Christian, I'm interested in the souls of men. When we say that, we're thinking of it in terms of salvation. We want lost souls to be saved. We want those who are dead in sin to be made alive. But I think it goes much further than just salvation. If we're really interested in the souls of men, let's find out what's going on in the souls of
yes.
men. How do we do that? Well, we listen. There are so many people out there in the world who feel invisible. They want to say something, but other people just talk over them, and they feel invisible. They feel as if no one cares about them. They feel as if they're unimportant, insignificant. That's what most people experience out there. Well, a listening ear helps validate that person. They can walk away from a conversation and say, finally, I have been heard. Maybe that doesn't change the circumstance they're in or solve their problem, but at least they know that somebody has heard them. And with that, relationship can deepen.
Yeah.
And you can actually talk about those things that matter to that person. So if we're going to have good, solid, positive, healthy relationships, listening to one another is the key. It is the key to communications. And I know, Richard, as you counsel couples in premarital counseling, communication is a big issue that you bring up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you don't ever ask the question, do you listen to each other? You ask questions like, well, how do you think you're going to raise your kids when you have your children? And everybody looks at you with deer in the headlights.
Yes.
Because they have never stopped and talked about it. Well, what have you been talking about? Well, you know, we like ball games, or we like to bowl, or we like to do this or that. They haven't talked about the really serious issues yet. And that gets us into the conversation about communication and being equally yoked and what all of that stuff means. And I find it really refreshing, because many times the couples have come back to the next session and they've talked about some of this stuff, and you can just tell that they're on the same page.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yes. And it's very important. You know, a lot of times husbands will come home and they'll walk in the door and they hear from their wives things like, oh, I hate the carpet. I just absolutely hate the carpet in the living room. And boy, the color on the walls, we need to repaint everything. I hate this house. I hate, you know, and just it's like the world is falling apart. Well, what is that a sign of? Well, it's a sign of that the wife doesn't feel like the husband has listened to her at any time over the last week, over the last month, over the last year. And these things have been boiling inside, and finally they just come out.
Yes.
So if we're smart, we need to sit down and listen. I think a smart husband will every night, at some point before he goes to bed, will just sit down, look at his wife right square in the eye, and say, talk to me. You're not there to fix her. You're not there to solve any problem. You're simply there to listen, to let her express her heart, to share what's really going on inside of her. And then once that's done, then she feels validated. She feels respected. She feels like you're really interested in who she is as a person. And that is meaningful. And that quieting down all of those negativities. So if you want to have a positive, healthy relationship, do as James says, be quick to listen. And you're free to do that because you're loved by Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You've been validated by Him. He's meeting your spiritual needs of loving you unconditionally, accepting you unconditionally. Rest in that, and as you do, you're free to listen. You don't have to try to make your point all the time. You can just sit back and be quick to listen, and you'll be surprised at how valuable that is for your relationships.
And we think, of course, that this CD series, Bob, that you produced, Inside Out, Marriage and Family, will be a wonderful adjunct, will be a wonderful help in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships, with your children, your wife. And we encourage you to get your copy of it. You can do that. It's called Inside Out, Marriage and Family, and it's available when you make your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Again, how do you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, have a healthy, vibrant relationship? Well, it's only through Him living in and through you. Request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.